Oh, amen. Good songs. Today is February 15th, 2015. And the message of our, or the title of our message today is called The Greatest of These. February. Just the word gives me chills. Overcast, chilly, barren February. If you're not into winter sports, then there is not a lot to excite you about this month. Praise God that he only made it last 28 or 29 days, depending on the year. But the one thing that is very special about February is Valentine's Day, celebrated yesterday by many. Valentine's Day traditions have clearly changed over time. The Romans first celebrated February 14th as a festival of pagan fertility. Pope Gelasius changed that in 496 AD, shifting the focus to a celebration of love. In the Middle Ages, you better hope you liked the first person you bumped into on Valentine's Day. The belief was that that person would become your spouse. Another odd tradition from long ago was that girls purposely ate odd food on Valentine's Day, believing it would lead to dreams of their future husband. Interesting. Some modern day trivia, approximately 1 billion Valentines are given each year. And can you guess which occupation receives the most? Teachers. To love and to be loved is the rock of our existence, but love must be able to flex and adapt. Genuine love willingly waits. It isn't pushy or demanding. It has its limits, but it has its boundaries. It has its limits, but its boundaries are far-reaching. It can be stretched. It never clings or is selfish or insensitive. It determines a need and does what is best for the other person without being told. The word tells us in 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 7, love is patient, love is kind. Love does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud. It does not dishonor others and is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. The one thing that I think of most when I think about love is, to me, a big part of love and being in a relationship with someone that you love, and also being able to receive another person's love. But one of the big things that I always think of when it comes to love is forgiveness. I stopped to think, you know, the word tells us about God and how much he loves us. And I stopped to think, you know, I'm able to receive the love that God has for me because of his forgiveness. For by forgiving me of my sins, I know that that's how much God loves me. When I read in his word about this great agape love that God has and gives to us, that's one of the things I always think of. And then I think of people that I know that have been through a difficult times within a relationship, within a marriage, some that have ended and moved on, some that have been repaired and are still going today. But the one thing that I think of when I, what always comes to my mind with all these things is the amount of forgiveness that it takes to love someone with the kind of love that God has. Think to yourself, where would you be today if God had not loved you so much that he was willing to forgive you of your sins? If God didn't love you so much that he didn't send his son to save you, think of where you would be today. Well, many people may think, you know, it would be okay. I would still be doing what I'm doing. Okay, well, think about where you're going to end up, though. If God had not forgiven you and put that calling in on your heart and in your life to where you sought a deeper relationship with him, questioned his existence, thought about, is there a higher power than myself? If all these things wouldn't have come into your mind to where you started questioning and seeking, you still may be all right with the walk that you're walking and the life that you're living in this life. You'll have your ups and downs, your trials. Those are always going to happen, whether a person is a sinner or a saint. Doesn't matter. We always will have those. But I think that for us saints, which, you know, it's not the ones on the walls in the Catholic Church. A saint is someone who has a relationship with Jesus, with God. That's a saint. We're all saints. We all serve him. But think of where you would be today, even in your daily walk without God. Think of where you would be in your life had it not been. Would you have been spared from that accident that you died three times in? Would you have not overcome a ruptured appendix that you almost died from? Would you not overcome difficult childbirths or disabilities that are still having play enough part in your life today? Without God, would you not overcome all these things? Without God, would you, in your disability, in your pain, in your sorrow, in your ability to see all things bad in your life, without God, would you be able to get up every day and overcome those? Would you be able to get up every day and say, it's okay, I know I've got God on my side and he's going to take care of it? It's because God loves us so much that we're able to see that. And that all starts with forgiveness. Unfortunately, many people forget the amount of forgiveness that is given unto them in a relationship between God and them. How much we are forgiven of all the things that we do wrong and all of our faults. And we fall short of issuing that same forgiveness to others. That's what love is about to me. That forgiveness that God gave me because he loved me so much. And I have to be willing to forgive others of the same. The word tells us that if we don't forgive others, we won't be forgiven. So we have to be careful. We have to understand that of the greatest out of all of these things, the greatest of these is love. It's what the word tells us. When we stop and think about the love that God has for us and the love that we are called to have for others, we can find our instruction in 1 John 4:7-21. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not have love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only son into the world that we might live through him. Verse 10 says, this is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us and love is made complete in us. This is how we know that we live in him and he in us. He has given us his Spirit And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. Verse 15 says, if anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in them and they in God. And so we know and rely on the love that God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in them. This is how love is made complete among us, so that we will have the confidence on the day of judgment. In this world, we are like Jesus. There is no perfect fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. Verse 19 says, we love because he first loved us. Whoever claims to love God yet hates a brother or sister is a liar. For whomever does not love their brother and sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. And he has given us this command. Anyone who loves God must also love their brother and sister. We are called to issue the same type of love that was given and displayed for us. Now, God doesn't say that we have to go to the cross and pay the penalty for our sins, or pay the penalty for other people's sins or the sins of our children or our grandchildren. All we're called to do is to love others as they love us. We are called to issue forgiveness unto others as God has forgiven us. And we are called to help those that we can help, and leave those to God that we cannot help. To leave room for God to work. And all of these things are done out of love. You know, I remember, well, it's been more than 5 years now, because my dad told me and said to me one time, Brenda, you should do a message on love. This message that we're talking about today, if it sounds familiar, it should. It's from 2010. With some other things added in. Because it's important. It really is important. It's fitting because yesterday was Valentine's Day, but it is important that we understand. You know, it was mentioned during prayers, or maybe in our conversation this morning, I think it was, about all the hate that flows through this world, all the hate that is displayed on social media today, and how we can choose to not expose ourselves to that. That negativity that surrounds people with that much hate. Reminds me of Pig Pen from the Peanuts, that cloud around him as he walked. That's what negativity breeds. And those people, types of people that continue to allow that to grow in their life and hang on to that bitterness and harbor those resentments, they just become people that we don't want to be around. We're trying to focus on trusting God and putting our faith and our hope in him, knowing that in the light all good things come. You know, the word tells us that joy comes in the morning. In God and in Christ is our hope and our faith and our trust. And it's because of his love for us that we receive. We continue to trust in him because we love him so much. How could you not love a God that cares about you to send somebody to die for you? To give you a home, an eternal home in paradise. Many people don't see it. Many people don't believe in it, but we do. Because I don't know about all of you, but I know where I came from. And I'm sure we can all of us agree that we'll never forget the person that we used to be, how we used to be. And know that at some point in our life, God loved us so much, he touched us and said, come unto me. I can help you. You don't have to be worried. You don't have to be afraid. In me, you can have peace. because I love you. And all I ask is that you love me back. And all I ask is that you love others as you love yourself. The word tells us in Leviticus 19:18, do not seek revenge or bear a grudge against anyone among your people, but love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. Do not seek revenge. The word also says that vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, I shall repay. It's not always easy to wait on God to take care of something or someone that has hurt you. But is that because we want to see another person hurt? Doesn't sound like the right thing to do. Doesn't sound like we're loving our brother if we're doing that. How about that we pray for that person that God changes their heart so that no longer are they hurtful and mean and hateful towards us and others? How about we love that person so much that we pray for them and leave them in God's hands? You know, sometimes you have to love someone so much that you're willing to walk away. What does Rodney call that, honey? Detach with love. That's it. Thank you. You have to love them enough to put them in the hands of God and leave room for him to work. You have to love yourself enough to give your life, to give your situations to God, and to trust in him that the answers will come. You have to give God room to work within you for those faults and those shortcomings that we find within ourselves, for those character defects, where we go to the Lord and we seek help, guidance, and direction. We do that because we love God and we know that He is the greatest over all. But him alone can change things, can change a person. You know, they say that a leopard never changes his spots and that people really can't change. There will always be that underlying personality trait within you, but I'm here to tell you God can change anybody and anything. There's nothing impossible for God, and I've seen it happen myself, within myself. But as we grow in our relationship with God and as that love within our heart grows for him, it pours out onto others. And that's the change that we begin to see within ourselves. The word also tells us in Deuteronomy 6:5, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. I'm here to tell you, if you love your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength, there's no room for hate. Absolutely none. And if a person says that they do love God with all their heart, with all their soul, and with all their strength, but yet still have hate within them, there is no love within them. The love is not there. Or it is not, it's just fake. They may speak it with their mouth, but not believe it with their heart. It does not truly dwell within them. And we have our faults. We falter. There may be times that I may not love you so much. Maybe it's that I don't love what you did, right? But the love should always still remain. And above all else, there should always be forgiveness. A lot of people forget that part. Then again, they also forget to forget. Well, I'll forgive somebody, but I'll never forget what they did. What if God didn't forget what you did? In Mark 12, verses 29 to 31, we receive the greatest commandment of all. The word says the most important one, answers Jesus, is this. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. love your neighbor. I'm sorry. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. Verse 31 says, the second is this, love your neighbor as yourself. There is no command greater than these. Love your God with all your heart, with all your body, with all your mind, with all your soul. Love your neighbor as yourself. That is the greatest command given directly from Christ. The things that we are called to do. Well, if you love your neighbor as you love yourself, that should mean that you should treat others the way you want to be treated, not the way they treat you. That means if you are hoping to receive forgiveness for something that you did wrong, you need to be sure to issue the forgiveness that someone else has done wrong. What we need to understand is that people don't naturally love with the type of love mentioned in 1 Corinthians 13. Love is patient, love is kind, does not envy, does not boast, is not proud, does not dishonor others, not self-seeking, is not easily angered, keeps no record of wrongs, does not delight in evil, but rejoices in the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. We naturally are not born with that type of love. To love like that, it takes a change of heart. Your heart must be changed. A person must realize that he is a sinner before God and understands that Christ died on the cross and rose again to provide him or her forgiveness. Then a decision must be made to accept Christ as your personal savior or their personal savior. And at that point, it is then that you are forgiven by Christ and receive God's eternal gift of life. In Christ, you know, a person knows that he is generally, genuinely loved by God. The new life of the believer, the new life that the believer receives includes the new capacity to love as Christ loves. For the believer now has living within him the unconditional, sacrificial, forgiving, eternal, and holy love of God. That's what it takes to be able to love as God instructs, is to have that change of heart, for God to dwell within. The word tells us in Romans 5:5, and hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured out unto all our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has given to us. It is through this change that we receive the gift of life, forgiveness for our sins, that our hearts may be changed to serve God better, to love others as we're supposed to. Well, without that, it's impossible. We have to have a love like God has. What we always need to remember is never forget is the amount of love that God has for each and every one of us, as the word says in John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whosoever shall believe in him shall not perish but have eternal life. I love you. Simple, single syllable words, yet they cannot be improved upon. Nothing comes close to the amount of love that God has given us and the amount of love that we have that dwells within us. Be sure to tell those you love as often as possible. We have no guarantees that we'll have each other forever. Don't just say love ya. Say I love you. There is a difference. Say those three words with power and with feeling so that whoever it is spoken to can actually know the amount of love that you do have for them. My final verse for you today comes from 1 Corinthians 13:13. And now these three remain: faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. Amen. Does anybody have anything to add? If our hearts and minds are clear, then we can stand for dismissal.